but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is taken from John 6, verse 35 and 41 to 51. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of the life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, "I came down from heaven"? Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, "There will be thought by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only has seen the Father. I tell you truth. He who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Well, thank you, Joe and Helen, for those readings. As with last week, can you spot the link, the theme between them? In our Old Testament reading, Elijah is refreshed by an angel, cakes of bread from heaven in the desert. And in the New Testament, Jesus declares that he is the bread of life. I love the story of Elijah. I think he's probably a bit depressed, and so he goes on retreat. I don't know about you, I used to dislike the word retreat. I sort of associated it with failure, with an army retreating before a powerful enemy and probably soon to be defeated. I couldn't see how retreat could ever be a good thing. But the word actually comes from the monastic tradition. It speaks of retreating from engagement with the world and spending cloistered time with God. So it's a time of refueling, refreshing, resetting priorities and vision. We retreat in order to advance again much more strongly. A bit like a fisherman playing a fish. We pull and then we let out slack to wind in the line and then take up the tension again. Jesus declares, "I am the bread of life." It's one of the seven "I am" sayings in St. John's Gospel. And even the little words "I am" are significant, because in Hebrew this is Yah, the name of God given to Moses at the burning bush. So what does Jesus mean, "I am the bread of life"? Well, food, eating, is a metaphor here for something spiritual. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So what does it mean to be spiritually hungry, spiritually thirsty? In the Beatitudes, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." And perhaps nowadays we're not very familiar with that ache in your stomach, that emptiness, that longing for food and drink, that dryness in your mouth. We're too quick to satisfy it and to fill the lack. But the images fit quite well. Jesus is talking about an emptiness in your spirit, a longing for something more, a desire for something in your soul that fills you and satisfies you. Well, the Jews there began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" As we said last Sunday, the Jews were famous for their grumbling in the desert, their negativity, their complaining about Moses in the wilderness. And they can see that this is a claim of divine status. "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they sneer at him. "Go back to where you came from." It's a put down that's actually still used in Britain today, isn't it? And just like in Britain today, they've made their assumption about where he came from, but they've got his origins wrong. They actually don't know his father, his real father. "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day." So Jesus not only refers to God as his Father, but then he declares that the initiative lies with God and God alone. They thought it was their choice, their decision. They thought they were the judges and the people in charge here. But Jesus puts them straight. "No one can come to me unless the Father draws them." First of all, he describes the goal as coming to me. That in itself is quite a big claim. But secondly, he says that it's really God's call, God's initiative, not your choice. And I think this is Jesus' main point in this passage. We sometimes debate this as a conflict between predestination and free will. And we tend to come down on one side or the other. Is it God who directs what happens? Or do I have a choice in the matter? And of course, from our point of view, we believe that we have freedom, free will to make decisions and live our lives. That's the way we are from day to day. But the Old Testament describes a God who is sovereign over the affairs of mankind, a God who directs the rise and fall of nations and even individual lives. And Jesus is underlining this divine perspective, which is usually most apparent to us only in hindsight. "It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me." Again, the purpose of life is to come to Jesus. Once we're there, we're safe. But the question again, do I decide or God? Some have said this is like two sides of the same coin. You can't see both of them at the same time. You can only see heads or tails. But both are true. And which you view simply depends on your perspective, where you're looking from, which side you're viewing from. Others have imagined the kingdom of heaven as a bit like a doorway. And as you approach, you see a text written over the top of the door, "Whosoever will may come." That's from Revelation 22. "And believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." That's from Acts 16. But then as you pass through, you look back and you see a different text above the far side of the door. You did not choose me, but I chose you. But you have to go through the doorway in order to see God's perspective. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Again, Jesus is making claims of uniqueness. He alone has come from God. He alone has seen the Father. And to the Jews, that was blasphemy for any human person to make those claims. It was taking the name of God in vain on your lips. They found it unbelievable that it might actually be true. But the irony, of course, is that Jesus spoke the simple truth. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. If you believe in Jesus, in other words, you're safe. You're there, you've made it. Now, the purpose of that is not to make you arrogant, not to make you think you're better than other people in some way. The purpose is to give you security, assurance of salvation. You are to value salvation and to thank God for eternal life, not to take it for granted. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Now, we tend to read that through the lens of communion, don't we? But Jesus meant to speak first about his own person. He has come down from heaven. He is a gift from God to mankind, bringing eternal life, so that we may not die but live forever. So how do we eat this bread? How can we receive Jesus into ourselves? Evangelicals, evangelists will talk of opening the door of our lives and letting Christ into our hearts. Remember that Holman Hunt picture of Jesus standing at the door and knocking from Revelation. Another image at New Wine this week, a speaker talked of sitting in the car of your life, if you like, and climbing out of the driver's seat and going round to the passenger side, letting Jesus come and sit in the driving seat and take control of the way you live your life. Others will talk of breathing out all that we know to be wrong and inhaling, breathing in God's grace and mercy in Jesus. Then again, of course, there's Bible reading and prayer. Reading about Jesus, learning from him, hearing God's word to us, and praying to him. In communion, we eat and drink to receive Jesus into our lives. And this is both a significant moment in life when we first make a choice to be a Christian, and also a daily recommitment and refilling with God's grace. But just to come back to the question, is this our decision or is it God's choice drawing us? We tend to want to be in control these days, don't we? Most of us don't like the idea that God chooses who will be his. But look at it another way. The burden of effort and responsibility, the hard graft, belongs to God and not to us. We don't have to pass any exams, thank goodness. We don't have to meet any requirements of us. We simply say yes to God's calling and to God's grace. It's all on him. There's nothing we have to do, no test to pass. God has provided eternal life and the bread of life. Bread, of course, was the staple food in Bible times. Give us this day our daily bread was the obvious metaphor for everyday needs. You are what you eat is a modern proverb, isn't it? It's literally true, as our stomachs digest food and turn it into new cells for our bodies. But it's also true nutritionally. You want to eat the good, healthy stuff, not the junk food. So what might it mean spiritually to eat this bread, my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world? This bread which anyone may eat and not die. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. So surely this is what we really need. This is the good stuff that will feed our souls. I am the bread of life. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. So let me leave you with a question. How could you receive Jesus today and this week? And in so doing, receive eternal life. May we all be richly blessed. Amen.